Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, it's so good to be with you tonight, 5 p.m. service. We got some My City people in the house. The rowdy crowd. Maybe it's something to do with Travis. The rowdiest of them all. How are you guys? You guys can grab a seat. Thank you so much, worship team. Have a little break for a few moments and we'll have some fun. But I'm excited to preach to you tonight. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I love our church. I did miss you guys last week when I was in Israel. I have to say this at the beginning, I am jet lagged right now. So I'm not sure what I'm gonna say. Or how this is going to roll, but you know, just it's all good. But before I get into it, do you want to see a couple of pictures from Israel? You do? All right, well, how you respond doesn't really change anything. I'm going to show them anyway. So, media guys, do you have the first couple of pictures to show up? There we go. So that's the Garden Tomb. It's where they laid Jesus down. And you actually get to go in there, and it's pretty amazing. You don't get to be in there for very long because there's a big line of people, but it's pretty amazing being in that place where they actually put Jesus down, but he rose again. Spoiler alert. Next picture. That's the Sea of Galilee on a beautiful old wooden boat, very similar to those boats that you'll see in Lego, but which I love, but it's a very heavily filtered picture. And people are like, oh, I don't do filters. I'm like, but you're wearing makeup. Okay, anyway. I'm just saying. So next picture. Oh, someone who loves filters just got like lit up by that. They're like, yes, filters on filters. That's another filtered picture. That's on the Sea of Galilee. So that's where Jesus walked. It's exactly where Jesus. No, I'm not sure if it's exactly where he walked. It's quite a big sea. But that is on the Sea of Galilee, on the front of the boat. It's really a Titanic moment. But Emma wasn't there, so I said, I'm kind of the king of the world, and that was it. But it's just amazing to be there, and it was a cool trip. It wasn't a big trip. There was a few of us going just to scout out the area and sort of see what would be a good tour for us to maybe open up to more people in the future, and it was really a really great time. But before going any further, I want to take a moment just to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Put your hands together for them. It's always an honor to preach in their pulpit, and I love them, and I love our church. I also love Christmas time. Come on, somebody. Now, if you don't love Christmas, it's okay. You can go to counseling, and you can talk that thing out and see where that came from and uncover that and dig that thing out. But Christmas time is awesome. It is one of my favorite times of the year. There's Christmas carols happening. There is Christmas movies happening. It's a time of the year that we get to eat kind of whatever we want, and we put ugly sweaters over ourselves and we think that people don't notice. But you know, an ugly sweater covers a multitude of sins, they say. And it's just an amazing time of the year. It's a time of the year where we get to go shopping at the mall with everybody else from San Diego. I didn't think this thing through. The mall people didn't think this whole thing through. You know what I'm talking about. Any parents here who have done a Christmas Eve shopping spree for their children? You're not a parent, Danny, but okay. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Christmas Eve and you go to the mall. It's insane. There's no parking spaces. So you end up driving around the parking lot for a solid 45 minutes and you end up stalking somebody. Come on, don't pretend like you don't do it. You end up stalking. And it's worse for me because if I'm in my Prius, it's a hybrid, so you can't actually hear it. So now it's like really suspicious because I'm just like rolling there. You can't hear a thing. I can hear their conversation. I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. And like, you're rolling up. And when you make eye contact, you kind of have to say, you know, are you leaving? You know, you have to mouth that and they'll say yes, and then you'll eventually wait for them, you'll get their spot, you'll go inside and there'll be a million other people in there, and you'll be in maybe Walmart, for example. I'm not ashamed to say that I go to Walmart. I'm not afraid of saying that. I'm not afraid of, good value prices on moderate goods. Like, it's not a bad thing. Like, Walmart, I am a person of Walmart. I'm not afraid of that. But you go to Walmart and you go to the toy aisle, and there's like 100 parents there, and there's meltdowns, and there's like a dad on the phone. They've sold out of Malibu Barbies, and they're freaking out. And so you get the toys, you get to the aisle, and you go to the 15 items or less aisle. Come on, somebody. The person in front of you's got 16 items. Not that you meant to count. You didn't mean to count. You didn't mean to count. But we do count. And then you finally get to the cashier and they ask that question that you just don't really want to be asked, especially after several hours of this whole experience. And they say, you know, are you a rewards club member? And you respond with, no, I'm not. And I'm begging you for this conversation to end right now. I just want to go home. I want to go home. I want to see my kids grow up. I just want to, I'll pay you more money. I'll give you more money just to end this conversation. And so then you get out eventually after they, you know, do the whole spiel, and then you get to the parking lot, and then you're the person being stalked by somebody else in the parking lot, and you can't find your car, which makes it really uncomfortable because they're like, are you leaving? You're like, yes, but they don't know that you can't find your car. And now it's dark and you're pressing your little button, and then you just give up and you get an Uber home. And that's it. But Christmas time, and now some of you are thinking, I need to go shopping this week. Well, this is getting down to the wire. It is. But I love Christmas time. I love Christmas presents. If you're wondering what our church's stance is on presents, we're fine with it. We really are fine with it. We preach generosity. Presents are fine. Santa's fine. Just so you know, we're fine with Santa here at C3 Church. There's an app called Santa Calls You, which is a phenomenal app if you're a parent, especially a four-year-old girl that loves Santa like me. So whenever she... If you have a parent of a four-year-old girl... Yeah, I'm not a four-year-old girl. Just to be clear. Someone's like, wow, okay. Interesting. This is an interesting church. No, but my four-year-old daughter loves Santa. She is obsessed with Santa. So whenever there's a moment in our household where she's not exactly doing what she's supposed to, my phone will ring and it'll be Santa. And this just gives me a lot of leverage. Anyway, moving right along. It's that time of the year we get to decorate our homes. And this week I'm putting Christmas lights on my house. You can text Help Drew to 555-888 to be part of that. But one of my favorite movies that has Christmas lights in it is Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm not endorsing this film completely. It's a great film. I'm not saying Chevy Chase is a great role model. He has his flaws. But I will say this is one of the greatest movies of all time. And we're going to spin a clip for you. It goes for like 3 minutes of, it's a cool scene. So just check your eyes to the screen and let's watch that together. Let's go.
This ought to do it.
Get a towel.
Okay!
Wait a minute. I don't believe it.
What's all the yelling about?
What's going on here?
$25,000 What's he doing, Bob?
I happen to fog you.
What is wrong with
Come on, who loves Clark Griswold? 25,000 Christmas lights on one house. That's next level of awesomeness. The title of my message tonight is Light of the World. And let me pray and then let's get into this tonight, shall we? God, I thank you for South Campus. Lord, I thank you that tonight, God, it's not my words being said, Lord, but yours. And that over the next 29 minutes we have together, God, I thank you that lives are going to be changed, Lord, that your word will be preached and that I will fight this jet lag off in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. The Chevy Chase scene is not totally tied into my message 100%. I just really want an excuse to show you that scene. But it kind of is. Well, let's just go with it. So John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Here we go. Are you ready? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and give them a high five and tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Let's read it one more time. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So Jesus opens this scripture up by making a statement. He says, I am the light of the world. But then he follows it with the request. He says, if you will follow me, if you will follow me. You see, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't force you or I to follow him. He doesn't pressure us to. He doesn't twist our arm. He says, if you just follow me. That's the kind of guy Jesus is. And there's such a distinct difference between believing in Jesus and actually following Jesus. Jesus is here not for you and I just to believe in him, but for you and I to actually follow him. Somebody say amen. So if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. That's a good scripture. We could just close up church right now, go home, and you'd probably be okay this week. Have we got any GPS people in the house tonight? Come on, GPS people. Come on, you put the GPS on, even if you're just driving to work every day, you still put it on because you just like to know what's going on out there. Have we got any, like, I'll find my own way people in the house? Any walking in the wilderness for 40 years people? A few of you. I'm a GPS person. I like my GPS. I like to know where I'm going. I like to have the directions in front of me. And the GPS really serves a couple of purposes. It really does two things. The first thing it does is it locates you where you are. If a GPS can't figure out where you are, it can't tell you where to go because it doesn't know where you first are. And the second thing a GPS does is it tells you how to get to whatever destination you're trying to get to. I think a good question that I like to ask myself occasionally is where am I actually at right now in my life? Where am I located? Where is the GPS system of my life right now? What is the GPS system of my life right now? Is it Jesus? Another question we can ask ourselves is where are we going right now? What's the next step, the next move I need to make in my life? You see, I think you and I, we can get lost in life, not because we're bad people, but just because we can make a couple of wrong turns. But the good news is that Jesus is the light of this world, and he is actually the greatest global positioning system that you and I could have. When he says he is the light of the world, he is here so you and I don't have to walk in darkness. You and I don't have to spend our lives walking in darkness, wandering through the darkness, not knowing what's next. I find that Jesus will locate you, he'll show you where you are, and he'll show you the steps to get to where you're meant to be in your life. Someone say amen. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord has an order of steps ahead for you and I. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So to recap John 8 verse 12, Jesus is the light of the world, and you and I, we get to follow him. And when you and I get to follow him, we don't have to spend our life walking in darkness because we're following the ultimate light, Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. Let's go to Matthew 5. Hold that thought. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. Actually, I have a couple more photos to show you from Israel. This is exciting. So this scripture here was Jesus speaking on the Mount of Beatitudes. And I think the media guys might have there's two more pictures to show you. There he goes. So that's the Mount of Beatitudes. Beautiful. There's the ocean in the background. Again, heavily, there you go. There's another picture. Whoa, back to that one. The Mount of Beatitudes, again, heavily filtered, beautiful picture. That's where Jesus was when he shared this scripture. And it's a beautiful place. I was shushed by a nun at the Mount of Beatitudes. That's a true story. I was shushed by a nun. They like it to be quiet at all times. So actually, a lot of the team were shushed by nuns. Anyway, I'm just saying. So we got shushed by nuns at the Mount of Beatitudes, but it really is a beautiful place. Thanks, guys, for showing those pictures. So just so you can picture where Jesus was, that's where he was when he was sharing this with his disciples. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's unpackage that a bit more. You are the light of this world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. This scripture is talking about each and every one of us in this room right now. It's not just talking about a select couple of people. It's saying that you and I are called to be light in our worlds. So when you walk into your high school on Monday morning, you don't walk in like an ordinary person. You walk in knowing that you're here to light the place up in a good way. You know what I'm saying? Light it up. But when you walk into your job on Monday, it's a different way to carry yourself. It's a different way to step in. When you know you're called to be the light of the world, you could be in the most mundane, unexciting job of all time, but when you know you're there on purpose, it could change everything. It's a game changer. You could be a stay-at-home mom, And you're called to be a light in your household. You're called to be a light. And I'm telling you, there's a thing called the man cave. There's a thing called the mum cave, and it's a real thing. Mums get in that mum cave when they get with like multiple children and busyness and diapers and craziness of life. And I'm telling you, you can reach other mums in the same position as you. Don't ever think for a moment that being a light is limited to just a few select people. It's for all of us. Someone say amen. So no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the whole house. The devil would love for you and I to place our lamp under a basket. He'd love for you and I to bow to fear or to bow to doubt or to bow to insecurity and just leave our lamp, just leave it on the ground. But God says, no, I've called you to have your lamp up on a stand so you can illuminate the world that's around you. You may not have to illuminate the entire world, but you may have to illuminate your world. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So let's compare these two scriptures, and then let's talk about a Bible story, and then we'll close this thing up and we'll go and have the leaders. It's going to be fantastic. So John chapter 8, Jesus says that he's the light of the world. Then in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. I wonder if it's possible that we've misunderstood what it actually means to be the light of the world. I wonder if we have perhaps disqualified ourselves. because we don't think that we're adequate enough. We don't feel like we have anything to offer. We don't feel like we're particularly skilled or good-looking or awesome or whatever reason you may think. I wonder if we have sometimes disqualified ourselves from being a light. I wonder if we sometimes make it way more complicated than what it really is. Like Christians do this. We get something really simple and we make it really complicated and we don't understand it, so we don't have to think about it. But when we keep things simple, which is kind of how I roll, I like to keep things simple because I can't do the algebra. I need 1 + 1 = 2. So I like to keep it simple. I know this is simple, but maybe in its simplicity, simply put, once Jesus has become light to us, he then becomes light through us. Maybe it's just as simple as that. Maybe it's not a case of 55 steps to unlocking the light within. Maybe it's not like a 2-year plan where you'll have a light to shine in 2 years. Maybe it's just as simple as, man, Jesus has been a light in my life. And the natural chain reaction, a natural byproduct of Jesus being a light in my life is he's a light through my life. Maybe it's just that simple. But you and I, we can't be a light to this world without the source. And I love that scene because Clark Griswold has plugged 25,000 lights into one socket. I love that scene for that reason because I would probably make that same mistake. Now I won't, thanks to that film. Thank you, Clark Griswold. But you and I, we could put 25,000 lights on our home, but if we're not plugged into the source, then we've just got a home that's got a bunch of lights on it. And people are wondering, why has he never turned the lights on? That'd be an amazing home if you just turned the switch on. That'd be an amazing, I mean, look at all that stuff out there. 25,000 lights. That's gotta shut down the power for the whole city. But if we're not connected to the source, what about the flip side of this comment? What about if you have the source but you just don't have any bulbs? What if God's looking down from heaven? He's the source. He's saying, I just need some bulbs. I'm here, I'm ready. I just need some people to plug in and flick that switch. And here's the thing, this is how you light up a city. You don't light up a city from one mega light. You light up a city from thousands of small lights in their world, no matter what part of the world that they are in. Without a light bulb, power is just potential power. And then without the sword, you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. Great. Flick the switch tonight. Let's go to a story. I like this story. I've preached on it a couple of times. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. I love it. Luke 10, 30 to 35. I believe this is one of the greatest stories of what it actually means to be a light in our world. Some of you may have heard it. If you haven't, well, congratulations. You get to hear it tonight. Luke 10, verse 30. Let's go. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. I was just there, I'm just saying. He was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And he was attacked by bandits. How's that? That's a bad day. I mean, I'm not sure, like you kick your toe, you think it's a bad day. Here's this guy, he's just going from point A to point B and he's mobbed by a bunch of bandits. That's a bad day. Tonight on Jerusalem's Most Wanted. They call themselves the roadside bandits. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. So these bandits, they strip him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they leave him half dead beside the road. Verse 31, by chance a priest comes along. Every pastor doesn't like this scripture. I'm just telling you that up front. Because this priest gives us all a bad name. But anyway, by chance a priest comes along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Man, when I read that, on one hand, I find myself judging that priest, sure. But on the other hand, I have to look at myself and go, gosh, I wonder. Because here's the thing, sometimes you cross the road consciously, sometimes you may cross it subconsciously. I wonder if this priest was even that bad of a person. Maybe he was just so in his own world that he just saw him from afar and just subconsciously crossed the road. Yeah. I wonder what opportunities I've missed in my own life. because I just wanted what was easier. I wanted what was convenient. I didn't want to confront. But that priest had an opportunity to be a light. But now he's in heaven and he has to deal with, well, potentially, he has to deal with all of us knowing the story that he was the guy that crossed the road and avoided the miracle. Verse 32, a temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. The temple assistant walks over to him, sees him laying there, crosses the road, because again, it was just what was easier for him. It was easier for him just to cross over, because he didn't know how to deal with that. He didn't know what he could do to actually help that man. But then verse 33, the story gets a little better. Then a despised Samaritan comes along. I love how it says despised Samaritan. It could have been Samaritan, but it's despised Samaritan. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Compassion is a game changer. This guy had compassion. The first two, maybe not, but this guy, the despised Samaritan, had compassion. And why this is an absolute miracle in itself is because the racial tension when this story was going on between the Samaritans and the Jews was intense. So the fact that he actually felt compassion despite the climate of the day is a miracle in itself. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine, and he bandaged them, and he put the man on his own donkey, and he took him to an inn where they took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you next time I'm here. So here's what he didn't do, the Good Samaritan. When he saw the guy laying there, he didn't stop what he was doing and pray to God that God would do something about it. I wonder if we sometimes pray, and when we pray, we delegate back to God things that he's put in our hands to do. Oh God, bring my coworker to church. You pray that in your cubicle. Meanwhile, your coworker's like, I can hear you, but your coworker's like, but God's like, you know what? You're sitting right next to them. The Good Samaritan's awesome because he didn't take a very practical thing and make it spiritual and get himself out of it by delegating it back to God. He didn't do that. He didn't find an excuse or a reason to get out of it. The guy gets him, puts him on his donkey. He walks himself, he sacrifices, puts him on a donkey, takes him to an inn, and then pays for the medical care. Now, I'm not sure about you and medical care, but for me, I had a moment about 3 years ago where I felt like pain in my stomach, and I looked down, I was like, there was a golf ball on my stomach. And I was like, wow, that's probably, and look, I'm not a doctor, that's not a good thing. There shouldn't be a golf ball in my stomach. I thought it was going to be like the scene from Alien, you know, Alien comes out, but no, it wasn't that dramatic. So I FaceTimed my mother-in-law, which is just an awkward thing to do. You know, you FaceTime your mother-in-law and she's looking at your stomach and she says, she's a nurse. Yeah, I'm not like, hey, what's up? Yeah, important fact, she's a nurse. She has, yeah. So I FaceTime a bunch of people. Hey, what's up? FaceTime mother-in-law. She's like, you've got a hernia. I'm like, that's not good. Saturday night, it's late. I'm preaching at a church an hour away the next morning. I can't have a hernia right now. So anyway, so I go, I preach to the church the next morning and I'm in all sorts of pain. And then straight from church, we were driving road trip to Vegas for a conference. It's just very unfortunate timing. So I get to Vegas and this place literally will take your money in every aspect. I spent 5 minutes with a doctor who fixed my situation up, and it was $2,500. So it's $500 a minute. So needless to say, I'm slightly skeptical about perhaps handing over my credit card to a hospital for a complete stranger's medical care. But the Good Samaritan just said, hey, whatever the cost is, next time I'm here, I'll hook you up. You can trust me. It speaks of who this guy is and the fact that someone would trust him with that. You know, the Good Samaritan too, not that Instagram was even around back in these Bible times, but if it was, if it was, just come with me, if it was around, I would venture out there to say that the Good Samaritan didn't take a selfie of himself and post to the world what he was doing, because it wasn't about what he was doing. Perhaps, you know, being a light is not about being looked at, but it's about illuminating something else. I know we had a solar eclipse recently, which was a really big deal. I didn't think it was until I heard about people, you know, calling in sick for work because of the solar eclipse. I'm like, wow, okay. But we had a solar eclipse recently, and people were making these special glasses out of like Cheerios boxes and all this kind of crazy stuff. And then people like me would just walk outside and just look at the sun. And I was like, saw it, and now I can't see anything. I don't even know who you are out there. I can't see you. Emma, are you out there? It's permanently destroyed my eyesight. No. But light's not supposed to be stared at so much. You and I being a light of the world isn't supposed to put the attention on us, because a light is not supposed to be stared at. It's supposed to illuminate other things. That's the purpose of being a light. It's not about you and I getting looked at. It's about God getting glory. And if people are able to stare at you, it might be because you're not bright enough. If people are able to stare at me, maybe I'm not bright enough. I'm just saying, the Good Samaritan, I love this guy. The first thing he did, he soothed his wounds, he bandaged up this guy. We live in a hurting world. Sometimes the greatest thing you and I can do is know how to get our first aid kit out, know what it means to actually talk to somebody, pray with somebody. You and I don't have to have all the answers, no, but we can sit with someone, we can pray with somebody. The second thing he did after he soothed his wounds and bandaged him up is he put the man on his own donkey. He carried the man when he couldn't carry himself. One of the greatest things you and I can do to be a light in our world is carry someone when they don't know how to carry themselves. Sometimes people in life, myself included, we can just go through seasons, right, where stuff's just not going good. And then maybe there's somebody tonight that they didn't make it to the 5 p.m. They just needed somebody to carry them to church tonight. I remember being in youth ministry and for many years, and the greatest thing I ever had, the greatest tool I had as a youth leader was my car. Because my car was, it was like four donkeys because there was four seats in it. And I was able to pick up people whose parents said, I'm not driving my kids to youth. I was able to pick up four, legally four, but I'll leave it at that. Four, stay legal people. I was able to pick up four people. I had four donkeys and I could take four people. I could carry people when they couldn't carry themselves, when their parents wouldn't drive them, but their parents would drive them to a party where they make bad choices. I don't understand it, parents. I don't get it. But sometimes the greatest thing you and I can do to be light is just know how to carry someone when they're in a season they can't carry themselves. And then the third thing he took care of this guy's costs. One of the easiest ways that you and I can be light in our world is through generosity. One of the easiest ways. I'm blown away by the response you get when you just buy somebody it's $5, it's a latte, it's not much. But you light up people's lives when you do that. That's why generosity is such an important thing for you and I in this Christian life. That's why we have to prosper. That's why we have to prosper. Like prospering is necessity. It's not optional. It's so easy. I mean, here's the thing about prospering, right? If the Good Samaritan was broke, this would have been a different story, because the priest would have come along. Second guy would have come along. And then it wouldn't have been a Good Samaritan come along. It would have been broke Samaritan. The poor Samaritan came along and he looked at the man and said, I'd like to help him, but I'm broke. I'm poor. I own a donkey because donkeys cost money. I can't pay for his medical bills. He would have carried on his pathway, and maybe a fourth person may have been in this story. But the reason why the Good Samaritan is in the story is not just because he saw the man, but because he saw the man and he stopped and he did something about it. Because he had the means to do something about it. I'm just saying this to give somebody permission to prosper in their life. just giving you permission to. Don't feel guilty about it. You and I are in a better position to bless other people through this way. So anyway, to summarize the Good Samaritan in one sentence, he just found a need and he met it. That's it. That's the simplicity of this message. And this, I'm sorry that I could make it a lot more complicated, but I'm not going to. He found a need and he met that need. That's all it was. Maybe it's just that simple. Maybe that's all it is. And maybe that's all the world needs from us. Is they just need us to have the light of God, you know, fill our lives, get into us and then through us. And when there's a need, we know how to meet it. And we don't need Christians on the street corner yelling at people, telling them they're going to hell. That's not being a light. It's being annoying. Stop it. We're called to be lights in our world. People don't need us to judge them or condemn them or remind them of their mistakes. People need us to be like the Good Samaritan, to see somebody and say, man, you're on the side of the road. What's happened in your life? And it may not be that dramatic, but to bandage their wounds and to pick them up and carry them when they can't carry themselves, and to help them find a place of refuge. It's not about a few people lighting up a city. It's about each and every single one of us lighting up the worlds that you and I are in. Whatever your world may be, you're the only person that can be a light in your world. I can't be a light in the world that you're in. You can't be a light in the world that I'm in. We're called to be a light in the world that we are in. I know about you, but I would hate for my life to go by and at the end of it, I realized that my lamp was just hiding. It was there the whole time. You didn't know. I would hate for my life to go by and for whatever reason, fear, doubt, insecurity, hide that lamp. I think tonight is the night for some people to pick up that lamp and know that in its simplicity, all it is Jesus is a light in your world. And if he can be a light in you, he can be a light through you. In Jesus' mighty name. We're going to close the service up in just a minute, but I'm going to invite you all to close your eyes and bow your heads just in the last few minutes we have here tonight. I'm not sure where you're at tonight in your life or in your walk with Christ, but I don't want this service to end without extending an opportunity for you to meet Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never walked with Jesus in your life. Maybe you were at one point, but for whatever reason, you're not walking with him now. You're far from God. I just want to include you in our last prayer as we close this service up. So that's you tonight. If you're far from God, come on, if he's not necessarily that light in your life, if that's you tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to invite you just to wave your hand at me right now. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Who else is there? Who else is there? I think there's somebody else here. You're far from God and you're sitting here tonight and your heart's beating in your chest. You know this is your night. You know this is your opportunity.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.